Hello, everyone. If you would, please open up your Bibles to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. It's good to see everyone here this evening. For those who are visiting, I'm not the regular preacher here. I'm someone filling in. He's out of town. So I guess that means I can speak as long as I want. Now, I came up to the building a little early to make sure I had everything ready, and they were fixing the clock in the back, so rest assured, I'll know exactly what time it is. So if I keep going, it's because I wanted to. This evening, we're going to spend our time looking at three things. We're going to look at light, we're going to look at love, and we're going to look at life. And we begin in 1 John, the first chapter. The first two points are going to be about God. The last point is going to be about us. We're going to talk about God's light, we're going to talk about God's love, and then we're going to talk about our life. And our goal this evening is to take that last point, what we need to do with our life, and apply God's light and His love and make our life a better, almost said a better place, but that doesn't make sense. Make us better Christians. In 1 John, the first chapter, beginning in verse 5, says, "This message we have heard from him and announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have a fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us." 1 John was written to a group that was having a lot of issues. At this time in Christianity, a lot of the apostles had gone out and had spread God's word, and there was enough time that the newness had worn off. There sprang up a very large group of Christians that began turning away to a newer doctrine. And this newer doctrine had a lot of misconceptions about the deity of Christ and his humanity. And 1 John is written specifically to convince them about the nature of God and the nature of Christ. And here he begins with one of the most fundamental ideas that you can begin with. Light. It's something that, even from birth, is one of the first things that we're exposed to. Children, whenever they're born, don't see like we see. It takes a long time before they begin to get depth to their vision. But one of the things they can do is tell the difference between light and dark. God is light. Even from the beginning, the first thing that God did was bring light into the darkness. He spoke, he said, "Let there be light," and there was. Now, this isn't speaking about the light like we have here in this auditorium. It would be darker if we turned them off, but we have them on so we can see. But it's using the concept of light to demonstrate to us the nature of God. You have to understand that what God does is something very similar to what light does. If we were to turn off the lights, of course, there would be darkness. The darkness actually doesn't exist. The darkness is just the absence of light. And so when you look at evil, when you look at the things of this world, they are the absence of God in other people's lives. It takes the light to go out and remove the darkness. Darkness doesn't give way to the light. The light has to go and to remove the darkness itself. In the same way, God and Christianity goes out and tries to expose sin, try to expose Satan, and tries to remove the darkness out of people's lives. This is, in essence, what God is. This is his goal. He is light. In him can be no darkness at all. God cannot entertain sin. He cannot have any association with it. And he can't manipulate it. He can't go out and use it. Sometimes when people struggle, they wonder, well, why would God do this to me? Why would he cause this terrible thing to happen in my life? But God can't be tempted, and neither can he tempt other people. God is light. Just like someone who is lost in darkness and the light gives them direction and gives them freedom, God is that for us in our spiritual lives. Without God, we would be lost in this life. You could turn to the book of Ecclesiastes and you could read all the different ways that someone, according to this life, might live. But in the end, as the author there in Ecclesiastes writes, all is vanity, all is worthless, all is void. Because whether you're choosing to live for family or for money or for pleasure, all these things are fleeting. They only last a moment, and then they pass away. But God, however, is eternal, and His light is eternal. The freedom that we can have in Him is something that we can lay hold of and we can have eternally. It's something that will never go away. The goal of a Christian should be to get to heaven and be near that light for all eternity, because there is a place that has eternal darkness, that is consumed with fire, and it's where all those who have wanted to live in the darkness will spend all eternity in darkness. As our lives mature and as we grow as Christians, our goal should be to spread the light as much as possible. When we first become Christians, when we first dedicate ourselves into God's service, our goals are normally, well, let's see if we can get all the darkness out of us, see if we can purge all the darkness. And our instruction usually comes down to, well, don't do this, don't do that. Make sure you come to services when the doors are open. Make sure you don't go into these situations, associate with these people. But as a Christian matures, their goal should be to spread the light as much as possible. Because after all, the goal of this life is to become more like God, to be more like Christ. And if He is light, we should strive to have as much light within us and bring the light to as many others as we can. Let's turn now to our second point, 1 John, the fourth chapter. So our first point is God is light. And if we are to live like we should have as much light in us as possible. In 1 John, the fourth chapter, verse 7, there's one other very important, very vital point about God that this author wants to make sure everyone understands. Because if we claim that we don't have sin, if we claim that we don't need God and His light, it says we make God a liar. So everyone has to understand that God is the light, and we have to take the light from God. There's a second point that he wants to make sure everyone understands. 1 John, the fourth chapter, and in verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God is manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son and the Savior into the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and He is God. We have come to know and have believed that the love of God for us, God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected within us, so that we might have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears has not perfected love." Now, because this is such a very logically written book and written to disprove a very false doctrine, it goes back and forth a lot. We have this understanding that God is love, and if He's love, we know this because, and He goes through all the different steps. We're not going to go through everything, single thing that he says here. We just want to understand a few key points. First of, that God is love. Just like God is light, God is love. You can't have one without the other. We have entire TV shows and movies set up on the premise that here you have the main character and he has to make a decision. Do I go with my heart or do I go with my mind? And you have the whole dilemma, and the whole series of the whole movie takes place, and you're with that person. You know, who are they going to choose? Or, you know, what situation is the best? You know, they're both bad. This isn't the situation with God. We don't have to choose, well, do I go out and try to disprove evil? Do I try to, you know, crusade and show everyone the light? Or do I allow myself to be motivated by love. And sometimes we, as Christians here at this church, sometimes find ourselves in that situation, that dilemma, where you come in contact with someone and you wonder, you know, should I be loving? Should I go to this person and try to overlook some of the things that they're doing in order to save them? Or should I confront them directly and head on and, you know, just blind them with the light? Well, with God, He has light and love. And if you stray from one, you're straying from the other. The only way that you can truly love someone is to show them the light. And the only way that you can show the light to someone is by showing them love. That sounds easy, but sometimes keeping that balance there is difficult. But you look at how God does the things which He does. If you were to turn to Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter in verse 11, here He's about to punish His people, the people He led out of Egypt, the people that He struggled with through the judges and through the kings and through all the prophets, and they're about to be led away into captivity, and He tells them that He takes no joy in punishing the wicked. Sometimes we make God to be this person who is so objective that He can stand back and He can just execute people at will and have absolutely no emotional response. That all He is light, and He's truth, and He's detached. But that's not God. God is love as much as He is light. He takes no joy in seeing the wicked punished. You see how in Matthew 23 and verse 37, once again, same group of people, just several hundred years later, Jesus is now on a hill looking down at Jerusalem, Matthew 23 and verse 37, and He compares them to baby chicks. That God and Christ, like a mother hen to their chicks, wanted to gather the people up, wanted to protect them and to love them and keep them from harm, but they were the ones who refused to allow themselves to be gathered in. God loves us. He would do anything for us. He wants to save us. In 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 4, He says that He wants all men to be saved, and that's without qualification. You know, sometimes we can almost unanimously agree. Adolf Hitler, he was a terrible person. If anyone's going to hell, Adolf Hitler's going there. God loved Adolf Hitler as much as He loves you. He loved him as much as anyone here in this audience. But that didn't mean He overlooked the flaws. That didn't mean that He just willingly forgave everything and just overlooked the fact that He is light. He is truth. If He were to overlook those things, then He would no longer be God. He would cease to be the person He was supposed to be. He is light, and He is love. He has to keep those two things balanced. Motivated by everything that He does is the love and concern He has for us. He wants us to be saved. He wants us out of the darkness. But in order for that to happen, there are things that we have to do. We have to be willing to step into the light. We have to be willing to do things out of love. And if we don't, then there's nothing He can do, because He cannot accept darkness. Going back to 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 17, He says, "The thing that can perfect us, and the thing that can make us like God," He says, "by this love is perfected with us," this 1 John 4 and verse 17, "so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also we are in this world." If we are truly motivated by love, it's the thing that can perfect us. It's the thing that can get us to heaven. And not only that, but it can give us confidence in the day of judgment. Sometimes when I know I think of judgment and I think of the last day, sometimes I get very afraid. Because rightfully so, He says here in verse 18, "There's no fear in love, but love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment." Why would you be afraid of something if there's no punishment, if there's nothing bad going to happen? And God wants us to have the love of God within us. He wants us to be so motivated by love that it casts out the fear of the unknown, the fear of punishment. What would you do if you were not afraid? That's one of the biggest questions a Christian has to ask themselves. Because when we think about, well, what can I do for God? Sometimes it comes down to, well, what am I comfortable with? You know, what's something that I can do that I'm not really stepping out of my little bubble, stepping out of my comfort zone? And with God, He is perfectly light, He's perfectly love, and using that love, a Christian can overcome those fears. If we're doing the things of God, then why would we be punished for them? Here we have the all-powerful, the all-knowing behind us, supporting us, wanting us to succeed. And if he's asked us to do something, if he says something is good for us to do, why would he ever punish us for doing something like that? Now, of course, there may be physical consequences. The people of this world may not be as supportive as God is. They do have fear. They do have darkness. And they don't always like the light to expose the darkness. But who are we more afraid of? Who is the one that we are going to place our confidence in? Because if it's this world, we can't be friends of the world and friends of God at the same time. In 1 John, the second chapter, the writer makes this very clear. In 1 John, the second chapter, and verse 15, 1 John 2 and verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If one loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The two can't exist at the same time. Because again, you have that conflict between light and darkness. How can you love the things of this world that are filled with darkness and have the light of God within you? The two are irreconcilable. You have to have the love of God. You have to have the light of God. So this brings us now to our third point. What are we going to do now to have the love of God within us and the light of God within us? The first thing we have to understand is you can't compromise. You can't be willing to give into darkness, to give into hating or to not loving someone, because you may have attachment. You may have an emotional attachment to someone, but don't confuse this with the love of God. Don't confuse this with having that person's best interest in mind. What could be more supportive, what could be more loving than to share the truth with someone? True love is sharing the light, and true light is loving one another. In John 13 and in verse 35, in the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter and verse 35, Christ is preparing himself for his crucifixion. He's talking to his apostles and his disciples, and he could have picked a number of things that he says, from this point on, everyone is going to identify you by. You know, how can someone know that you're a Christian? In John 13 and verse 35, he says, "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Loving begins in the family. We understand this from a physical standpoint. Our physical family, whatever it might look like, we learn love in that unit. We learn how to love one another by watching our guardians, our parents, and following their good examples of love. In a Christian family, in a church, how could we ever convert other people if we're not willing to show love to one another? What are we doing to demonstrate the love that we have for one another? And this, I think, can only be answered on an individual-by-individual basis. We have to look at ourselves. We have to reflect and think, well, what am I doing to show other people that I care about them, that I love them? What am I doing to shine my light in other people's lives? If you look into the mirror and you find something you don't like, then change it. Cast out the fear. The only way you can cast out that fear is by taking that leap of faith and by taking the step of love. In John 14 and verse 15, just going back one chapter, he says, "To love me is to keep my commandments." Again, you have love equated with that obedience, that light. And the two are inseparable. You have to have the love of God. You have to have the light of God in your life. You can't compromise one with the other. We'll look at one more passage before we close this evening. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. In 1 Corinthians 8, they're dealing with a situation here, and they're not sure exactly how to handle all the corrections that have to be done. If you're familiar with the letter to the 1 Corinthians, or letter to the Corinthians, they had a lot of issues. They had a lot of problems. And here Paul is having to break all this news to them, to shine this painful light into their lives, and, of course, motivated by love. In 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, here specifically he's talking about eating of meats. Some believed you could, some believed you could not. In 1 Corinthians 8, chapter verse 1, it says, "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that all knowledge, we know that all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies." Skipping now down to verse 7. "However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience is weak and defiled. But food will not condemn us to God. We are neither worse if we do not eat, nor better if we do not eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. When we approach others and when we try to spread the light of the gospel to others, we have to see that other person as valuable. We have to understand that God loves that person, and we have to love that person. It would be easy to just clinically approach someone and hit him over the head with the Bible. Just say, look, what you're doing is absolutely wrong. You're not doing anything right. And if you don't get right, you're going to hell's fire. Bye, I'll talk to you later. But that's not going to help that person out. That's not going to show any love whatsoever. Paul says here that teaching that person, working with that person, is something that needs to be done, but it needs to be done with understanding. It needs to be done with that other person's best interests in mind. When we go out and we spread the light and when we spread the love of God, we have to be concerned about what that other person thinks. We have to be concerned about what that other person feels. Not to the point that we're going to compromise. Not to the point that we're not going to give them the light of God. But you have to meet that person where they're at. And if you forget about that other person, then you forgot the message of the gospel. You forgot that it's the good news. It's the thing that was sent out into all the world to save other people. It's not the thing to make sure you're better than everyone else or that we're in the right place and they're in the wrong place. It's the light and the love of God in word form. You're taking the most important message that someone could ever hear to them, and they may not be automatically willing to hear it. They may not jump on the occasion to learn and to hear everything that you have to say, but you have to separate their rejection of the gospel from their rejection of you. This is not a personal mission. This is not something to spread yourself out there and your legacy. This is the light and love of God that you're taking out to others. Do you have the light of God within you? Can this evening, can you say without a doubt that you are doing everything you can to stand in the light of God? Because if you aren't, then you should have fear. You should understand that you are in danger. I don't say that with any delight. God, when he said it with no delight. But the fact is, God is light, and within him can be no darkness. So if you plan to spend eternity with Christ and with God, you have to purge the darkness from you. And that is a proactive step. Just like flipping on the lights or finding a flashlight, lighting the candle, anything that you might do to spread the light, the darkness will move, but you have to actively seek the light to do it. Do you have the love of God within you? Maybe you've done what it takes to step into the light of God, but you're having trouble finding that love of God. You're having trouble finding that motivation. You know, love is completely one-sided. It's motivated by the person giving it. It has absolutely no dependence on the other person. Romans 5 tells us that when we were at our worst, Christ came and died for us. There was nothing that we did to earn the love of Christ. There was nothing that we did that motivated God to send his Son down and to give us an opportunity to get the remission of our sins, but he did it anyway. That's why it was love. It was something that was pure, and it was sincere, and it was completely motivated for our best interest. Do you have the love of God within you? If not, you need to find it. There are plenty of people here that could help you find that. You can speak to me after. You could speak to our elders or any of our members here, and we can talk to you and to help you understand the things that you need to do to find that love. Love is a decision. It's not something that you accidentally fall in and something that you accidentally fall out of. It is a conscious decision that you make to be motivated by other people's best interest. Are you ready to make your life right? God is light, God is love. Are you light and are you love? This evening, if you need anything at all, please would you come forward while we stand and while we sing.